Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings, I am Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us here on the Voice of Olympus e-radio show on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Tonight we have a special guest, Linda Marciniak of the Amber Dragon in Branchville, New Jersey, a wonderful store with wonderful vibes and wonderful merchandise that I'm highly honored to be holding workshops in. And tonight we'll be talking about crystal wisdom. Greetings, Linda. Welcome to our show.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm doing well tonight. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. You have an awesome store.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I put a lot of my heart and soul into everything. I handpick all the crystals that are in the shop, so I look for the stones that have high energy, that have, you know, a really beautiful soul to them.
And it shows, and it feels, too. As soon as you walk into the store, the energy hits you and the vibe hits you. I know that I felt very much at home each time I've held a workshop there.
Well, thank you. You know, I have a lot of really good people that come into the shop, and I think that everybody who brings positive energy, it's kind of a repository for that. So everybody's energy just keeps building on itself, and so the vibe gets better and better, I think. Every time we do a program upstairs and we do a meditation or we do a full moon circle, you know, everybody leaves a little piece of themselves here, and so the energy just keeps building, and I really like that.
And you are a very unique and powerful person yourself with a very interesting vibe. And I'm looking forward to the time when we have some time and space to actually get to know each other better, because your vibes are very, very distinct and very, very unique. How did you begin your journey? What led you to the Amber Dragon?
Well, you know, I think it's been a lifelong thing. You know, when you're young and you're kind of wandering through the forest and you're picking up stones and you're, you know, writing poetry, and you're not quite sure what it is that you're doing. You just know that your soul is calling you, you're on a path, and at some point you just figure that that's, you know, the normal way that people exist. And so as I, you know, as I got older and I just started to really, you know, define my path, I started to do some reading. I met some people along the way that kind of shaped my my destiny a little bit, and I moved to the point that I started to, you know, really kind of listen to my inner voice. I had some guidance from my guides that told me that I really needed to kind of move in this direction. I started really by working with the stones in making jewelry, and I loved crystals. I really wanted to enhance the pieces that I was getting. And I said, you know what, I could probably make something like this. So, you know, the quest was on. And so then I started to pursue going out and finding crystals that I could work with myself. And, you know, the universe really led me to an amazing place, a lapidary down in North Bergen called Earth Treasures, run by a really interesting guy named Al Lombardi and his friend Al Gallenberti. And, you know, I just kept planting myself there pretty much every weekend. I was sweeping the floors. I was doing anything I could until they really had a little faith in me and allowed me to use the machines. And, you know, once I started to cut and polish some stone, I was pretty much hooked. You know, everything awesome. That I had always felt was like right there in front of me. It was amazing.
Now, you mentioned spirit guides. Can you define that a little bit more?
Well, I work a lot with the chakra system. So I work with aligning all of the chakras and communicating a lot with my third eye and opening through my crown. And we all have guides. We all have those, you know, those voices, those intuitive moments. Some of us believe in angels. Some believe in spirit guides, totem animals, ancestors. It's really, it's all the same thing. It's spirit and energy. And the way it comes through and the way that we interpret it is what makes sense for us personally. So some of us, you know, hear the voice of our grandmother or, you know, see the face of somebody that, you know, we knew in our childhood. Some of us equate it to, you know, the archangels. It's really just the energy, the wisdom of multiple lifetimes that it's really coming to bear in this lifetime. So we all have that. It's in each one of us. And the key is really to just tap into it, to trust it, to, you know, move within.
And I'm of the same belief. I believe that spirit takes the shape that you're more likely to listen to. And for different people, that'll be different things. A lot of folks who start experimenting with the voice within start believing that the voice deceives because it could take on any form. But I found in my experience that that's not true. It's just that it'll take the form that you'll listen to, and that's a way of communicating, and that we all do that in our various roles in life. So there's nothing sinister about it. I've seen a lot of videos on YouTube charging that the Ascended Masters or the Archons or the Elementals are evil because they're shapeshifters. And again, that's kind of like a short-sighted way of looking at the whole thing.
Well, you know, there's always going to be that element of fear, right? So when you think about, you know, the need for, you know, some sense of order in the world, you know, there is that belief system that in order to, you know, have order, we have to have control. And, you know, when people are walking around and they're listening to their inner guides and they're listening to their voice and they're moving where spirit takes them, that's not necessarily, you know, the kind of person that you're going to be able to control with, you know, with just traditional social wisdom. So, you know, there's a lot of a fear and anxiety in people that, you know, if you're going about listening to your soul, what's going to happen to you? But I think that you're right, Hercules. I think that what comes through is what we're ready to hear, and we have to trust that we're never going to be overwhelmed by that gift, by what we're receiving, because the energy is just going to fill the space that we create for it, and it's never going to be something that's going to trouble us. What troubles us is that you know, that stress that we put on ourselves to, you know, the shoulds, the woulds, the coulds, you know, that external pressure that comes from the ego, that comes from the superego telling us that, you know, this is the way we should live our life versus that inner wisdom, which is kind of encouraging you to, you know, move freely in the direction that you're intended to go in.
most people are content to live the scripts that our society provides. And our society does provide very clear roles and ways of measuring your success in those roles. And for most, that is enough, and that is what life is all about. But there are those of us for whom these roles are not what life is all about. And it's very refreshing to hear how you explained that, because what you said was very well said.
Well, thank you. And, you know, there's safety in numbers, right? So if we get some small modicum of comfort from kind of being in the crowd, some of us are willing to sacrifice a certain portion of our soul to, you know, be amongst, you know, the many. And it's not until you reach a point in your life where, you know, that doesn't satisfy you anymore, that you're going to move from within that, the safety of the herd, if you will, or the group, you know. And I always tell people that, you know, when the pain of where you are is more than the fear of the unknown, that's when you're going to move. You know, that's when you're going to open up and you're going to hear, you know.
Most definitely so. The call to adventure, the call to leaving the uncomfortable known to get into the more uncomfortable unknown. When the fear becomes a wall, and the wall starts closing in on you and restricting you, and it kind of forces you to be reborn, because you can't really stand still, so you need to move forward out into that bigger world. And that bigger world initially seems vast and incomprehensibly complicated, but eventually that too becomes a wall once you hit the edges of it, and that too starts shrinking on you. So life becomes a process of these transcendent moments where you're born into a bigger life.
Well, right. I mean, that's exactly it, Hercules. I mean, look at the phenomenon of the wave, right? The wave is the surface phenomenon. So those of us that stand at the shore and just keep getting pelted and pummeled by the wave because we're afraid to move through it, we're always going to wind up with sand in our shorts, right? When you relax and you allow yourself to have faith and close your eyes and go under the wave, just float under the wave, you realize that, you know, you're far away from the breaking waves, you're far away from the shore, and now you're in a space where you can float and you can feel free and relaxed. And it's that, you know, it's that pulling and tugging that keeps so many of us kind of stuck in the mundane and using a lot of, you know, rationalization. You know, it's good enough, this is fine. Well, at least I know what to expect here. You know, and for many people, that will sustain them for their lives. But you're right. There are a group, you know, that are here that are, you know, questioning that are moving through it. And I think that, you know, more so now than, you know, even when I was young and coming through, I think there are a lot of people that are really questioning the mundane, that are really looking for, you know, an enlightened way of life.
And we live in an age where the amount of information that is accessible to us is unbelievable. I remember, I'm almost 60 now, and I remember growing up when I sought metaphysical knowledge, it often involved going to antiquarian bookstores and waiting for long periods of time, 9 months to a year and a half, and paying hundreds of dollars for obscure texts that you can now find translated and for free on the internet, various versions of them as well. So it's a lot easier now to tap into this information. It's remarkable.
And I agree. I mean, I think that there's a lot to be said for technology, and it's really kind of opened, you know, the world's eye to each other, and really kind of a sharing has occurred. I think, you know, when you look at where all spirituality began, and if you read the ancient texts from all the different cultures, I think what's so amazing to me is, you know, way back then, when there was no such thing as written language, let alone the internet, the telephone, or a newspaper, you know, there was this simultaneous awakening going on, and it was being done in culturally relevant ways all around the world. And so, you know, everybody's representation of deity is exactly the same, but again, you know, transcending in the form and the culture that made sense to the people of that time. And I think one of the biggest challenges that we face is that it's harder for us to find that here. And I think that it's a great thing that everybody has access to all of the knowledge and all of the, you know, the information that went before. But I think that we also need to have some guidance in how we use that, because it is all up for interpretation all of the time. And so I think it's really important that if you're having ideas or you're having thoughts or you're having questions, that, you know, you find some like-minded individuals that you feel that you can work with and that you can share and communicate with, because I think in that way we all evolve at the same time, you know, and if you are having questions, it's really good to be with other folks that are going to be able to kind of share their experiences with you as well.
And you have an interesting bunch of folks at the Amber Dragon. The ones that have been attending my workshop have been marvelous. And it seems that differences are celebrated, and shamanism and mythology, regardless of where in the world they come from, are embraced and utilized in a very life-affirming way. And in the conversations we've had, your love of mythology has come forth very strongly.
Well, I have a very, very eclectic group of folks here, and I have been tremendously blessed. The shop has been opened here in Branchville since May of last year, and I have been embraced with warm and loving arms. I have so many wonderful people that come here to the different groups and activities that we have, and everybody, like you said, everybody is open and sharing. You know, we try and do a little something for everyone here, and really the key is universalism, to just be open to, you know, any form of light and energy and willingness that people are bringing and sharing, and not to feel that, you know, any one particular thing is going to be better or be more well received. So, you know, because of that open and appreciative stance that we take, I have a lot of people come through here that have never experienced a meditation group before. They've never been to a circle before, but we try and keep it open and welcoming so everyone can feel like they have a place to come and just kind of settle in for a while and at the very least have some peaceful moments for themselves.
And they communicate very well, too. I remember in the groups that I've had, folks were coming from different perspectives, even though they were all seeking spiritually, and yet they were very open to other perspectives and just accepted that people's perspectives were different, and that was okay. And that's very unique to find as well. Many people are caught into their particular interpretation and tend to distrust other ways of looking at the world.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's really a big challenge when you have a shop like this. You know, you don't want to find yourself in a situation where you're limiting the opportunities that people can have, because I really see this as a portal of change for people, and you know, I can't let my ego get in the way either. You know, it can't be, you know, just what I believe or just what, you know, I'm knowledgeable in, which is why I'm so grateful that I have you coming and doing the programs here you know, at the Amber Dragon as well, because, you know, you bring a very, very different perspective, and, you know, you're the real deal. You know, you eat, sleep, and breathe this, and it comes through so beautifully in what you share. And so sitting here and listening to you talk, and I'm sorry that I missed out on the meditation, but I have to say that you're a bit of a good luck charm for me, because every time you come to present, I wind up with many customers downstairs coming through the door, which pulls me out of the group. But everybody has such great feedback, you know. When they come down the stairs, it really is like they are descending Mount Olympus, and everyone shares that they've had an experience of some sort, you know, because of the journey that you took them on. So it's just wonderful stuff.
Well, thank you for your kind words. I'm greatly appreciative of them. And you never stopped writing poetry. Now you speak poetry.
Well, you know, I do a lot of work with meditation, and I write all of my own meditation materials, and I also write all of my own ritual and circle materials. And what I like to do really is just close my eyes and allow spirit to take me. So sometimes when meditation circle is starting, I don't even know what journey we're going to go on, because I'm waiting to receive the gift. And usually it is in some form of a rhyme or a song, and you know, it just speaks more beautifully to people. I think that they can relax into the words more if there's some kind of a cadence to them. And I'm just always so grateful that it comes through.
I'm much the same way. A lot of times if I feel connected, I trust and just go with the flow. And the stuff that comes through me is much more brilliant than anything I planned to say, you know, ahead of time. So I, too, trust the energy within, and I know that once I'm connected, things will come out well.
Yeah, and it's the group too. You know, I have some very, very some very strong and comforting members in this group that they come to a lot of the different functions, and so I've come to kind of really rely and trust on their energy to be in the space with me. So I know that, you know, if I look straight across the circle, I'm going to see Noelle sitting there, and I feel very comforted by that. You know, I have some other folks, my husband's in the circle with me, and we have some other folks in the circle as well that, you know, they really kind of, they bring consistently the same energy and the same support. And when you're doing this kind of work, you know, you really need that, because it's just not your energy. It's really everybody's energy being put into the center, and where we're going to go with that is, you know, the gift of the journey.
Almost definitely so. We have a bunch of people now gathering around what we're doing, and that's starting to form, and I don't know what form it'll finally settle in, but it is a very comforting thing, and it's a very exciting thing, because it's not just an individual or a couple's journey. It becomes a collective journey, which is synergistic, and ultimately becomes greater than the sum of its parts. So I'm very excited as well.
It's also interesting to meet, like, new people that come to the lectures and stuff, and you start talking to them, and they feel almost like they're old friends. It's like it's a very unusual feeling that you feel like a connection there almost right away.
Yeah, there's one gentleman who's been coming regularly who's actually worked or who works in places that I worked years ago, and has connected with people that I connected with years ago. So the synchronicities there are very amazing.
Well, and I agree with that. I think it's just so amazing when folks come and, you know, you don't know them at first, and they walk in the door, and, you know, it's an energy thing for me. I'm not quite sure of who you are and what you're doing here until I can really kind of get close enough to you to feel your energy and, you know, experience you on that level. And, you know, when people trust you enough that they just keep coming back, I mean, that's a gift. And then when they're willing to actually, you know, lend a hand and, you know, create magic with you, that's something altogether different. I mean, we've had some great folks here. We have a guy here who is extremely handy, and, you know, his name is Bucky, and, you know, he built the Maypole for us so we could have our first Maypole. And, you know, so it's just giving of themselves. It's just amazing. I had a food drive, and some of the ladies that came to the Maypole brought, you know, canned goods for the food drive. And so it's just, I'm just always amazed at the amount of energy and trust that people will bring once they feel that they are welcome and they are safe, you know, in the space.
And from you're saying you have a food drive, that's an awesome thing. We also believe in being very visible and giving to our communities because the images that they have of the older religions are images that they get from popular entertainment, you know, from Hollywood movies, from lurid novels, and from
American Horror Story.
American Horror Story from Disney, you know. So they don't really know much about the ancient ways of approaching reality and the ancient ways of demonstrating spirituality. So it does help a lot if they can see that the people who practice these ancient ways and who anchor them in our reality are people just like them, members of the community who care about other people, who care about the community, and aren't necessarily trying to foist their point of view onto other people.
Well, exactly. And we are the ambassadors of our craft, individually and collectively. And it's not just what we share, but how we share it. And I really try and interpret what I'm doing into something that is socially relevant and culturally relevant for the folks that I'm working with, because that's what sticks with people. That's what makes sense. You know, not doctrine, not, you know, reading verbatim what somebody else wrote, but being able to make it come to life in the circle and make it a breathing, living entity that everyone can make sense of. I think that that's when everyone, you know, really taps in and gets something out of it and brings it forward with them in the world. You know, my goal isn't that, you know, you come to the Amber Dragon and you have an experience and you feel good and you leave and go back to life as it was. You know, my goal is that you come here, you work on something that has meaning for you, and when you leave here, you take that with you and you bring it forward in the world. And the only way that we're going to do that is if we're able to interpret ourselves in a way that makes sense to, you know, most of the people in the world. You know, that's really what I see as our role. You know, anyone who's doing this kind of work, you know, Hercules and Athena going out into the libraries and just speaking in earnest from the heart about that which, you know, brings you wholeness. You know, that's really what it's all about. And if we can do that, I think that we're going to, you know, we're going to bring more enlightenment into the world and really not get caught up in, you know, whose doctrine it is.
I believe so as well. And when we do the Center for the Study of Living Myth in the Library, we're doing it because most people who experience things beyond the norm, and right now those things are kind of acceptable because they're the subject of speculative TV and speculative literature. People don't really have anybody to personally share this information with, and when they try to, they're told, "Oh, you're crazy," or "Oh, that didn't happen," or so forth. So they find the groups comforting in that they can come in and share their experiences with other people who've had those experiences, even though they come from a diverse range of backgrounds and belief systems. And they can see that they're not crazy, that they're not weird.
Or being judged.
Or being judged for having experiences that's beyond the norm.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, when you walk into the Amber Dragon, right, I mean, it's, we have rocks and we have crystals and, you know, folks come in and, you know, they're kind of looking around and you want to engage them. I mean, I want to have conversations with them because, you know, there's something that has called them into a space like this. And you want them to know that it's perfectly okay to believe that for some reason or another, whether it's just the tactile experience of holding the stone in your hand and feeling the surface, and, you know, that's comforting for you, it's not what I think the stone is going to do for you. It's what you believe the stone is going to do for you.
Exactly.
And it's okay, you know. If it's just the color, you know, I just like to look at it, it's a pretty color, then that's the meaning for you, you know, and that's where it's going to start. You know, I always tell people that the stone picks them, and what you come in looking for may not be what you walk out with, but you have to trust and believe in something other than what your eyes are seeing in order for this journey to unfold before you. And so I tell people all the time, you know, you have to feel it. Just close your eyes, pick a few things up in your hands, walk around with them for a while, and just see what fits, because that's really where the energy is going to really help you. You know, and then you'll see people that, you know, by the time they're leaving, you know, they're not anxious anymore. They're, again, like Athena said, you know, they don't feel like they're being judged. They don't feel like they're weird or kooky or strange, you know, because they're in a rock shop. You know, they feel like they belong. It's a wonderful thing.
Very awesomely said. And on that note, we're going to go to our mid-show music break. Thank you very much, Linda. We'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, Athena, what is our song for today?
Our midpoint musical interlude today is by Castalia Alexandrian, and it's called Hearn.
Hearn.
The moon rises. International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And we are back. I'm Hercules Invictus.
And I'm Athena Victory.
And this is Voice of Olympus. And tonight's guest is Linda Marciniak from the Amber Dragon. And tonight's topic is crystal wisdom. Welcome back, Linda.
Hi, thank you.
Now, the Amber Dragon, and we all agree on this, is an awesome, awesome, awesome place. How did the idea for the Amber Dragon first spring up?
So my husband and I had basically been doing the rock show circuit, the craft fairs, the festivals, and, you know, we had been doing a lot of, outdoor shows, mostly down in Hudson County, some in Essex County, and the opportunity came for me to move indoors and have a shop. So I happen to be going up to Salem. I go up to Salem every year for the Samhain holiday. And so when I was up there, I had this amazing opportunity to go to a dragon magic circle where, you know, the idea was to find your dragon. And it was in the Temple of the Nine Wells, which is run by Gypsy Ravitch, out of the shop called New Aeon, and she's a beautiful place up there. So I went to the circle, and it was held by Rowena Whaling, and I met my dragon there, and it was awesome. Just an amazing gift. And so the Amber Dragon, the name of the shop, was actually born as a result of that circle. And so we came home, and we knew that the shop would be born as the Amber Dragon. And so we started work and opened our doors a year ago in May. We still do some rock shows and festivals, but, you know, fewer now. So I'm kind of grateful to be indoors.
We went down a similar route. We're in Pennsylvania. We did a lot of shows, and then we wound up with a shop for a few years. And it was we look back on that as very, very fondly. We closed the shop when we moved out of Pennsylvania, and we did some shows here, but our path took us in another direction. But that is a magical time, having a shop like that.
I love the second floor of your shop, too, where the meditation room is with the skylight. You just walk up there with the crystals around in the circle, and it's just so peaceful. I literally wanted to walk into the middle of the room, lay down in the middle, and just look up at the sky.
And that's really our aim with that. You know, the shop is two floors, but the second floor is the healing room, and it is just devoted to energy work. We don't have any retail going on upstairs. It's where we do our groups and our workshops. And, you know, I have been very lucky to be working with Noelle, who comes and does all of my grids for me. And She creates the space on the floor. Each meditation and each circle, you know, there's a theme involved. And so we'll talk about it, and I'll tell her either, you know, what energy I'm trying to go for or what color we're working with. And she'll whip up this spectacular grid. And so we're all kind of working within this sacred space. And it's just really been a beautiful addition to the shop.
Now, we've been blessed by being there. For our listeners, can you describe the full range of what you have and what you do at the Amber Dragon?
Sure. So the Amber Dragon is really a full-range metaphysical shop. We specialize in hand-selected crystals, minerals, fossils, petrified wood. We have pieces in every single price range imaginable. My goal was really to create a space where, you know, you could actually afford to walk out with a stone in your hand. I remember those days and going to these shops and shows and finding something that was just so amazing and then seeing the price and realizing that that wasn't meant for me. So I really try and work with everyone. We also have candles and tapestries. I work a lot with essential oils. So we have a nice selection of essential oils and incense here. When I do my work upstairs, I do meditation circles. I'm a Reiki master. So I work with Reiki as well as teaching some classes and doing some attunements. I also use vibrational healing. So I play the healing bowls, the Tibetan healing bowls, as well as the crystal bowls. And we are lucky to have a whole set of the crystal bowls for all of the chakra points. So we do play those during meditation as well. We also do tarot readings up here. I have a lovely young woman who's doing a hula hooping class up here for me on Monday nights now. We just finished that before the radio show. That was a lot of fun. I try and bring in just about anything that anybody's interested in. On Saturday, July 23rd, I'm actually holding a workshop that I've done before. It's a Warrior Woman workshop, and it's an opportunity for women to come together. And what we do is we explore our tribal roots, our warrior goddess within. We create a tribe or several tribes, depending on how many ladies show up for the program. And within that tribal work, we will create a war cry and a banner, and we will have a tribal sit down with drumming and singing and some dancing. It's just a really fun way to kind of reclaim your warrior roots. And that's the kind of stuff that I do here. Oh, thanks.
With a lot of the older goddesses like Inanna and even Aphrodite, if you go back far enough, has a warrior goddess aspect to her. It's not just Athena or the Morrigan or ones you would expect. Almost all the ancient goddesses, Ishtar, all of them had a warrior goddess aspect. They were the goddess of warfare as well as the goddesses of love.
Well, and I think that's the well-rounded, you know, woman. I mean, every one of us has a warrior goddess within us, you know. There's been that opportunity for you to experience, you know, the strength and the wisdom of the warrior goddess at some point in your life. You know, as a mom, I've been in that position many, many times, you know, defending my young or, you know, working with trying to get them to a place where I felt that they were, you know, going to be safe and comfortable. And so every one of us has that opportunity. And socially, you know, and culturally, women have kind of been evolved a little bit out of that, but it's still in there. You know, you can't have grace if you don't have power. You know, you can't have, you know, love if you don't have strength. And so for a woman to embrace her wholeness, she really has to be comfortable with the fact that we're fierce. You know, we have to be fierce. We bring life into this world. We have to be prepared to protect it.
That is so very true, and that is an awesome thing for you to be doing.
Well, thanks. I love that workshop. It's one of my favorites. You know, we have a lot of laughs. It's a lot of fun. You know, just the drumming and the dancing around and seeing what the women create as, you know, their tribal customs and their war cries. It's just, it's a fun evening. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's the first time I'm doing it here.
And what are your dreams for the future of the Amber Dragon?
Well, my dreams for the future are that I'm going to have a working lapidary. We have some of the equipment already to cut and polish stone and really get back to kind of making some freeform pendants and pieces. I'd love to expand the community that I have here. I would like to bring more folks in to, you know, practice what they do well and just really open up the opportunities. My goal at some point is to open the shop at least a couple of days during the week. Right now, we're only open on Saturday and Sunday. But my goal really is to be able to expand and open a couple of days during the week as well and kind of, you know, bring some more, you know, unique finds and treasures right here into Branchville so that people can experience it, them firsthand.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I agree.
Now, I remember when I was first training to work with energy, and this was many moons ago. I was shocked to discover that rocks and stones give off the same type of energy as living things. And that altered my approach to the mineral kingdom. And although my ignorance of crystals is vast, I did recently write an e-book on quartz, because quartz was called ice from Olympus. They believe that just like the Olympians were mortal, the ice from Olympus is immortal too, and it manifests as quartz crystals in our world. So I checked it out, and I wrote an e-book, and then I started experimenting with other types of quartz. And I'm still experimenting, and my altar at home has some prehistoric hammers that I found through my journey. It seemed like whenever something really significant happened, I'd find a prehistoric hammer, even on Long Island. I found one on the beach of all places. So those are on my altar, and I have like a relationship with those as well. Your knowledge is much more vast and extensive. What type of advice can you give folks at home when they first start approaching this?
You know, again, my primary advice is that the stone is going to pick you. And so if you're coming into a shop or you're going somewhere to, you know, a store or a festival, and, you know, you're just going to allow yourself to really, you know, go with what's calling you, even if it's not something that you understand in that moment. You know, one of my favorite things to do when I was starting out was to really just, you know, pick the stone that was calling to me. It was either something that I was intrigued about the color or the shape or the way it felt in my hand. And, you know, the fact that I knew nothing about it was really, that's your homework, you know, to take that stone home and to do your research and to read about it and to work with it, to experience it. What you're working with is a relationship based on energy. And, you know, stones are organic matter just like everything else. So, you know, energy has an opportunity to generate and build up, because just like any other relationship, you're establishing kind of your boundaries with your stone. So the more you hold it, the more you handle it, the more you, you know, you take it with you into your world, the more sense it's going to make to you and the more it's going to be able to give back to you. So, you know, if you're going to be starting with stones, you know, don't worry. There's no wrong stone for anybody. We learn from every stone. They're all gifts. And you just want to start with something that, you know, you're going to be able to take with you, that you're going to be able to handle and hold on to and, you know, carry around with you, so that you can really start to experience that shared energy between you and the stone.
Very true. And I found, too, that stones, like with people and like with animals, like with plants, despite what they happen to be manifesting as, are quite individualistic. So although you can make some generalizations about stones, through your relationship with a particular stone, you're going to uncover secrets that might not apply to another stone of that type.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of amazing books out there. There are great, great books on stones. There are great books on chakras. But, again, don't get hung up on anybody else's doctrine. You know, just because somebody says that, you know, the stone for your root chakra is, you know, this, that, or the other thing, you know, you're going to pick up a stone and it's going to tell you where it's going to work for you. And it might be your root chakra, even if it's not a red stone or a black stone. And, you know, that's your unique relationship with that stone. And when you start to trust that, you're on the journey, because that's when you're starting to listen to your inner voice, despite what, you know, society and everyone else is telling you. So when you're working with stones, I really encourage you, you know, if you have somebody who you really trust, who you want to share that journey with, and you feel comfortable and confident that they're giving you, you know, wisdom and advice that's comfortable for you, then by all means do so. But if not, you know, just, you know, take that first brave step yourself. You know, you can come on into the Amber Dragon. There is nothing you're going to tell me that's going to shock me or, you know, make me think that you're odd in any way. I mean, you're talking to a woman that runs a rock shop, for goodness sakes. You know, I sleep with them under my pillow. But that way, you're going to be able to just get out there and just experience the stones, you know.
So what is next for Linda Marciniak?
Well, right now, I'm still devoted to my full-time work, and I'm doing this on the weekend and in the evenings. My goal is to really increase the amount of energy work that I'm doing here. I would like to start doing Reiki attunements in the fall and offering some classes in Wicca as well. So I'm really kind of looking to, you know, build the spiritual presence here a little bit more, as well as expand my inventory to include some kinds of stones and fossils that I don't have right now.
That sounds incredibly awesome. And how can folks find out more about you and the Amber Dragon?
Well, I do have a Facebook page, so you can like me on Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. Every morning I post a picture with a motivational message, so you can kind of follow along with that on Instagram as well. You can stop by. You know, the best way to experience the dragon is to really just come in and, you know, smell and taste and, you know, hold the stones yourself, and that way you can decide if this is a place for you. You can also send me an email. My email is listed on the Facebook page. I send out a newsletter once a month with all of our activities in the newsletter, so you can get into my newsletter as well. And really just looking forward to hearing from anybody who is on the journey, thinks they're on the journey, or wants to be on the journey.
Awesome. And I'm greatly honored to be doing another Seven Heavens class, focusing on the moon and the stars next time in August. I know I'll be seeing you then. Are there any last words for tonight you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I would just like to thank you very much for the opportunity to come on the show, Hercules and Athena. I just really enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to you coming back in August, because the moon is something that's very sacred to me, and I'm really looking forward to hearing, you know, your presentation about that as well. And just again, thank you, and thank you for, you know, sharing the message.
And thank you for being on the show. You've been a wonderful guest, and I'm going to invite you back on to talk about chakras and to talk about Reiki and to talk about a bunch of other topics that you touched upon briefly today. Thank you so very much, Linda, and joyous journeys.
Well, fantastic, and blessed be to you and Athena as well. Thank you, Hercules.
Blessed be.
Good night.
Blessed be. Good night.
Wow, she is awesome, and the Amber Dragon is awesome. I can't wait to go back.
I can't wait to go back again.
So, what is new with us, Athena?
Well, Hercules is going to do a talk on time travel techniques at the Crestkill Public Library on Thursday, July 28th, between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock p.m. And there's also going to be a Pride of Olympus spin-off show coming soon. So
that is
tuned.
Right. Our first spin-off show from Voice of Olympus. And this one is going to focus on the cosmic Olympianism that we've been introducing into season one of this show. And now it's going to take off and fly into the firmaments where we'll explore it separately. And we're going to focus more on practical and spiritual things that come up in daily life here on the Voice of Olympus. Thanks for sharing that with them.
Okay, and for more information on Hercules and Athena, visit our website at www.HerculesInvictus.net. For contact and community, visit us on Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or The Voice of Olympus. Hercules and Athena are also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, as well as epic special events and appearances.
And our next show is going to be Celestial Lion, starring Thomas Punton, also known as Lionheart. And in days of yore, he was known as Lion Lord. So he's an awesome individual, and he actually interviewed me several years back, so now I get to interview him. And we're going to have other Celestial Lions coming in and sharing their lives with our audience. So I'm looking forward to that.
And Thomas has been a good friend of ours on Facebook for quite a while now.
He's an awesome individual. He's participated in Fitness Quest. He's participated in all sorts of things that we had. We'll be asked people to join. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thank you so very much for joining us. We wish you a wonderful week and joyous journeys.
Joyous journeys.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.